Off top, vampire bats need to feed on blood every 48 hours. And when one is hungry in the roost, another one regurgitates a little blood to feed his friend. Play the music!
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
Welcome to the Dominique Foxworth Show. I'm Dominique Foxworth. That is my good friend Charlie Kravitz, the vanilla snack, coming off a big 10-miler weekend.
I did not run.
Yeah, he didn't run. His significant other, Carrie, though, put up big numbers. We're proud of her. We love her. She's the best. Right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So we're I'd regurgitate blood for her. I'd regurgitate blood for you, too. I'll be your vampire bat.
This is a weirdly affectionate start to our podcast. We're in a good mood because we're coming off of watching.
You didn't say you'd regurgitate blood for me?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm keeping that. Wow. That's my blood. I'm a hoarder.
Okay.
No, I wouldn't. I would go kill a cow and drag it back for you. That's it.
Hmm. That's a weird start. That's a much nicer thing to do than you spitting blood in my mouth.
Oh my gosh, this is a weird start to the show. Basketball happened. Let's talk about that. We have good stories too from the weekend.
Yeah.
I got a pretty funny occurrence at a bathroom and at a Wizards game. But before we get to that, I think it's important to talk about the greatness that is South Carolina basketball and Dawn Staley.
What did you find most interesting about sort of the unimpeachable performance from South Carolina?
That their bench is better than their starters. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. And I've talked about this on this show a bunch of times, how much I like Malaysia Fuwaili, and she's my favorite player on that team. She doesn't play quite enough to be my favorite player in all of college basketball, but it felt like I felt justified. You know that weird feeling where you get when it's like, I think white people do it with like bands and stuff, where you're like, hey, that's my band. And then when they get popping, you're like, I was on to them first. Like, I feel like that even though I wasn't the first to Malaysia Fuwaili. I've been talking about her all season since she had those early season and highlights that got my attention, and it was fun to watch her feel like she was a pivotal point in this game. But after it's all said and done, I feel like Camila Cardoso was obviously the most impressive player on the court.
I love how you just defined hipsters.
Yeah.
It's something white people do.
I mean, I feel like that's a go-to phrase for me. It's something white people do. Anything I don't understand. Is
that's how I felt with like J. Cole and Chance the Rapper before they went mainstream, and I was like, I'm cooler than the hipster because I knew with other stuff.
Yeah, now you're trying to send us off course. You can't mention J. Cole. Then we're going to go off on this old man tangent about battle rap. We're not going to do it. We'll get back to the basketball for now. Those are the two most impressive things for me from the game. What about you?
So, yeah, I mean, I think so. Camila Cardoso really changed the math of that game.
Yeah.
She is so big and so dominant on the offensive glass. At halftime, South Carolina is getting 0.75 offensive rebounds per minute.
That's crazy.
And it made you saw Iowa walking off the floor and it's like they played the perfect first half and we're still down by three. Like Caitlin Clark erupted for 18 points in the first quarter and it didn't totally matter because you have to sustain that type of shooting to beat a team that's that physically dominant. And it's not just physically dominant. To your point, like Tessa Johnson, Fuwaili, and Kitts also flipped the game by being incredibly efficient and like athletically dominant and skilled shooting from the outside. So it just felt like a performance where they're up and down better outside of Caitlin Clark, who was able to create some magical moments. But like this was a cap off of a perfect season for South Carolina, where if they hadn't lost to Caitlin Clark last year, they could be winning, I think it'd be 76 consecutive games at this point.
Gosh.
And they're going to be better next year. I'm sure they're going to find another tall. And then their three best players are Fuwaili, Tessa Johnson, and Kitts, and those are two freshmen and a sophomore. Those guys, they're going to be dominant next year.
I'm looking forward to seeing it again. I think I'm going to miss Caitlin Clark, and I know that a lot of this conversation.
Hell yeah.
I mean, you didn't congratulate me for my win, by the way.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. Yeah. Congratulations on South Carolina beating Caitlin Clark.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much. I'm kind of a closet Caitlin Clark fan, but I'm out and open. I came out a couple weeks ago that I was rooting for Caitlin Clark over LSU, but I was not rooting for her over South Carolina. I think I just was happy to see them play. I didn't have much of a dog in this fight as I do in some games, because normally I go into games where if I didn't go to school there, or I don't like have some connection to a player or something there, I don't know who I'm rooting for until the game starts.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm kind of like, I don't know what happens. But in this game, I felt myself wanting, and maybe it was because Iowa got out to a good start, I felt myself wanting South Carolina to win. And I am looking forward to women's college basketball next season. I am going to miss Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I think that my girl Fuwaili and Juju Watkins are going to be enough to sustain it, because I think I made the point of
Paige Beckers too.
Yeah, Paige Beckers.
Different reasons.
Yeah. I made the point a couple months ago, I think, that or a couple weeks ago that the trajectory for women's college basketball is up, and it might be like the stock market in that it goes up and down, but overall, it's clear that we're headed on a good trajectory, and I think it's going to continue. And I think my assumption was there was going to be a bit of a dip next year, but I'm thinking about the stars that are there. We got to know a lot of people that I think people are going to want to watch next season.
Can I say something about that? Because there will be stars. There will be people being but watching and are more engaged now, but their biggest star will be gone. Yeah. And there will be a dip. And that was one of the things I thought was so bizarre about the coverage of Caitlin Clark this week and on Twitter.
Right.
And I should not have my brain affected by my algorithm and what pops up. And you even saw LeBron have to tweet, like, if you're hating on Caitlin Clark's game, like, basically, get out of here. Get out of here. paraphrasing there. But you have people who've wanted this game lifted up and made mainstream for 30, 40 years. And Caitlin Clark did that. And to see sort of the venerated stars of the game knock her down, and I know that happens in men's basketball where there's a crotchety old generation, I found it incredibly bizarre. Yeah. It seemed like a culture war. And it like there was a point in this game where there were a couple like ticky-tack fouls and everyone's like, oh, they're fixing the game for white Iowa for them to win. I'm like, this is stupid. We're 6 minutes in the game. Caitlin Clark pushed off once. Like, what are we doing?
So this is the problem with social media, and it's why I am not
as smart man
as most of you, because I was unaware of this. Yeah. You were telling me about this when we got together for the second half and after the game was over, but it's not something I experienced. Yeah. I didn't know that people were out there hating, and I think obviously there's context to everything.
Yeah.
And there's complicated factors. And I know that I caught up with some of the complaints about how Sue Bird and Taurasi were talking about her after the last game.
And that made it mainstream because it was not just online. Taurasi has been very active in her criticism of Caitlin Clark, the basketball player.
This is an interesting question that I'm not sure that I expected to end up here. But I hear often people saying, like, almost celebrating the idea that we are treating them in the same kind of not so great way.
Right.
Yeah, that we treat men's basketball players like, congratulations, we're picking you apart the same way. And if we get a chance to do it over again, why don't we do it right? I don't know. Maybe I'm being naive I don't know. Just go ahead.
To me, it's just like what Caitlin Clark did to women's basketball was in women's college basketball this year was transcendent. This is the establishment. This would be like the establishment being like, Mahomes isn't that good.
Right.
Tiger Woods wasn't that good. Because I'm not saying she's the best player of all time and she's that level of dominant. But she meant that much to the viewers. We had 14 million people watching the national semifinal because of Caitlin Clark.
And so that's part of the context conversation is because she is who she is, she looks the way she looks, she plays where she plays, there's going to be a layer of like resentment
for
some of that. And because there are some of the people who are commenting on it are women who came before who were similarly as dominant and as talented for their generations.
Yeah.
And are not, like, there is some jealousy in that. So, like, I think all the context matters. And maybe it also will be factual that maybe she will struggle in the WNBA. But to your point, that doesn't change what her impact has been. And of course, there are other factors for why this mattered. Like, it got bigger in part because of LSU and in part because of Angel Reese. It got bigger because South Carolina didn't have shooting last year. Like, all these things played a role in it. And it was stepping on the previous generations of women's basketball players. Like, all that stuff happened. And I mean, it's kind of the inevitable issue with any, like, big moment is we tend to want to, like, storify everything. And when there's a big moment, there's going to be a protagonist. And the protagonist in this moment happens to be Caitlin Clark. And I think that some people feel left behind because they were a part of it. And we're not doing like a retrospective, like they did this so you could walk and they did that so you could run. And now Caitlin's flying and people are pissed.
The thing is, like, stylistically watching her play basketball, there's a reason that people are so interested in watching her play because it's otherworldly, the shot she's hitting and the way she's doing it. Like, yes, she had a lot of turnovers in this game at the end. She was carrying her team like a backpack to this point. And like, I will say this, Diana Taurasi is widely regarded as the greatest WNBA player of all time, probably the best women's basketball player of all time, or since Cheryl Miller, however you want to put it. She should not want to aspire to be Paul Pierce chirping at LeBron, where it's like, this is like, what are you doing? We should not aspire for our discourse about Caitlin Clark to feel like Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Like, that is all the things that we hate about, like, that people complain about our network, the way that people complain about, like, the discourse where it's like, I'm sure you have this. You talk to people who aren't in our world, and they're just like, Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson are both awesome. What are you talking about? Like, we should not bring that into something that is actually interesting and can be done better.
One of my I got together with a couple of high school friends this weekend, and they're both from Baltimore, and they still live in that area. And one of them was like, all right, I would never say this out in front of other people, but come on, keep it real with me. How good is Lamar Jackson really? Like, implying that I cannot be fully honest about Lamar Jackson because of, like, blackness. And I was like, no, like, Lamar Jackson, I feel like we are past that place for black quarterbacks in the NFL. I readily admit there was a time when I had a hard time. I would hold on for dear life to any black quarterback because I was like, we ain't going to get another one. We got to hold on. But now it's like, no, I can be honest about the ones that stink. And I hope that we get to a point in the future where we can feel the same, where white people can feel the same way about basketball players.
You know what's so funny is I have my friends who just more or less, what they do is they elbow me and they're like, what's going on at ESPN? They're like seven good quarterbacks. Why is everyone like sort of complaining about the good ones?
Right. Yeah, that's an uncomfortable situation trying to make conversations out of people's greatness. And then you have to like downgrade them. I mean, we had this with Caitlin Clark where it's like, is she a GOAT? How goaty is she? Yeah. Can she be a GOAT without winning a championship? It's like, this is to your point.
The answer is yes. She's an incredible college and basketball player.
Also, the answer is who cares? Yeah. Like, let's sit here and enjoy this moment now for what it is. And I'm not sure. So my experience, and I'm obviously in sports media, but like I mentioned, like I'm not as active on social as you are, but I didn't have that feeling that Caitlin Clark was being like denigrated or people were coming down on her. I didn't have that same feeling that clearly
it was people
happening.
Wanted her to lose. It was like there was a like, aha, I told you show she's not actually that good type of feeling.
Is that okay? So I guess this goes back to the question that I was trying to ask that I didn't fully get to. Is it inevitable that we are going to go there with sports? Or do we have a choice to do something different for where this is going? Because I don't feel like we should celebrate the idea that, oh, women's basketball or women's sports has reached the level of men's sports.
See, I think this is interesting because I think LeBron is proof that it wasn't algorithmic.
Right.
Like the fact he, like everyone was talking about this, like the fact that he has such a big platform on basketball to basically like, this is stupid. I do think it can be better. I think that this is like of a time of the moment.
Yeah.
Of the moment. It's just like stupid culture war stuff about sports that like largely doesn't exist outside of a very small bubble.
Oh, so culture wars only exist in sports?
No. But I'm just saying like within people at this high of a level where it's like trying to take them down for ulterior motives. I think that's like a bubble that will not exist for that long. I hope doesn't exist that long in sports media.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We don't. I'm more
optimistic than you are.
It's not even. I guess I just don't know what I think, honestly, because part of me also thinks that it's probably a bit inevitable.
Yeah,
is if you want to have big time sports and if you want to have 24-hour networks talk about your sport all the time, and if you want people to find things that they're passionate about in these games, I feel like at some point it's. Or maybe it's just a lack of imagination for my part. I can't imagine what the conversations would be about. And put the culture war and race stuff out of it. Yeah. I can't imagine what the conversations would be about if we weren't parsing the BS things that we generally parse.
I guess we would definitely parse BS things. But I feel like there's a difference between like parsing greatness and like saying dumb shit.
Yeah.
And like this is like the Skip Bayless effect of it where it's like there has to be something else.
Yeah. Yeah. There does have to be something else. And we're going to build it.
Can I say something like really sappy, though?
Yeah, go ahead.
College sports has been littered, and oftentimes it's very funny having these shady characters run programs.
Yeah.
And like, yes, we know that they're not the most upstanding
coaches,
ladies and gentlemen, and their coaches or boosters or ADs or whatever. It's kind of awesome that Dawn Staley seems like a legitimately good person. Like, one, like the joy with her team, two, the way she runs her program and people grow into these roles, three, what she said about Caitlin Clark and just the joy of it. It's kind of nice to have that as like the winning program. It's a lot nicer than Kim Mulkey winning the national championship. Gosh,
yeah. I mean, Dawn Staley feels like a gem, and she feels like the type of coach that everybody should want to play with. That's not like a softy, but also clearly cares about you and is obviously holds a high standard for her players and responds in losses and wins the way that you would expect and responds to on-court fights the way that you should when you're leading a program and you're preparing people for life afterwards and you're setting an example. I feel so old saying all that stuff, but look, I like that stuff. I had this conversation with Bomani last week is old people know stuff.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be ashamed of the fact that I feel old.
I got room in my heart for Rick Pitino. I do. You tell me when you're going to put on that white suit, I'll watch that St. John's game. Look, I got room for all the crooks and criminals and illegal happenings. I got room for the University of Miami to be back.
Yeah.
But I also have room for Dawn Staley to be a good person and say nice things.
Oh, man, boosters in Miami. Yeah, that's fun. Yeah, I'm with you. So, yeah, I like that about Dawn Staley. And I think and this is kind of to that point of the evolution of any major sport, is I think we are at a sweet spot for women's college basketball as far as the evolution is concerned, where it has not gotten to a point where the game is so valuable and so intense that crooks and criminals find their way to the top. Like, I imagine that as this happens and as if women's basketball keeps growing. And I guess that's what discourages me about the future of the discourse is, like, if you want the game to continue to grow and continue to be popular, I'm not sure what happens to the discourse because I haven't seen it go any other way. And yeah. I'm not sure what happens to the people in power at the top other than they become, because that's what I've seen happen in football and basketball and our major sports. That's what's happened.
And that's what was so discouraging about this, because it's like you have someone. Right. Who led to the highest rated ESPN women's game ever. 14 million views in the semifinal. I assume it's even more on this one because UConn outdrew LSU, which we didn't expect.
Right.
And it seems like the sport was revolutionized by someone, but half of the discourse is like, now we actually wanted it to be someone else.
Yeah.
It's just like how it feels. Like, well, like that's the honest take of it, where it's like, this is silly.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we don't have to do that here, even though we just did it, kind of.
No, we were above it. We did a meta criticism of the criticism.
I like that. I like that. And you said that I called out hipsters. Now we're hipsters. If we're doing meta criticism, that's a hipster move. Mm. All right.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
So men's?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
UConn rules.
They struggled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like we've gotten accustomed to see them have no problem with anybody in this tournament, and then we go back to the 30-0 run and be able to stop anyone defensively and score at will. They had a little struggle against Alabama, which
plain gate.
Yeah,
it's the sleep the night before that matters, and they're held down by the airline industry that wanted Alabama to have a chance. Nick Saban grounded that plane.
Either that, or it's the one game single elimination, and sometimes you have a rough one. Like I think the big question going into this game is like, are you at all concerned that Zach Edey and Purdue are going to be able to slow down, or not slow down, to be able to beat UConn, which seemed like a buzzsaw most of this tournament. And I didn't see anything in either of these games that made me feel like that's going to be a difference.
I mean, Zach Edey was pretty dominant in the semifinal. He'll have to have a Cardoso-like performance against Klingon, but Klingon is also very tall. There's not a six-inch gap between the centers on those teams. Yeah, I mean, I think UConn's going to win.
Yeah.
But that's not to take anything away from Purdue. Purdue's vastly outperformed my expectations for them going through this tournament. As a sort of a pretender because of the last few years.
I mean, it's been pretty cool. I think one thing about the tournament is it does have an elevating effect for players. Mm-hmm. And there are players who always think about Shabazz Napier getting drafted because he had a good run in LeBron.
Not just the discourse, LeBron's tweet.
Yeah, and LeBron tweeted about it. It does have an elevating effect for players where Edey is going to get more attention now and more of a look. Burns is going to get more attention and more of a look than he would have gotten otherwise. I don't see either of those two guys having like great impactful NBA careers, but prove me wrong, they could. They'll get a shot now. Burns, man, he struggled when... Yeah, Burns definitely not. Was he 6'9"?
Probably 6'7", too. Yeah, NFL scouts are saying he's probably 6'7".
Yeah, you remember when I texted you that? It was well before the rest of the country caught on to it. I was like, hey, them feet like that and that size, man, need to learn how to kick slide, protect the passer. So we'll see how the game turns out. It's
I'm pretty excited for it, actually. Yeah. It's like, this is going to be a high-level college game. It's been one of the things I think can be frustrating about the men's game, where this has been an awesome tournament, but you look at it in totality, and obviously, if you look at some of the past, there have been higher level tournaments and higher level teams, but we ended up with the two best teams and two teams that have a lot of continuity and like play a pretty advanced style, and seeing if Edey can perform against this type of team is going to be really interesting.
Yeah, that's the problem, is it's just Edey. Like there doesn't seem to be anybody else over. Like they can have other guys spring up. It does, or at least style wise, the way that they play the best, and really the only way they can play to win is through Edey. Yep. And it's UConn has multiple ways to play and have had the experience and are on a historic run. So of course, in a single elimination game, anything can happen. But and they don't even have the massive, like you said, Edey's going to have to go full Cardoso. He can't because the person who's guarding him is 7'2", and he's what, 7'4", whereas she had like 5 inches on everybody against everyone on Iowa.
And it's really interesting because like Edey's going to get his in their 34 wins. He averages 25 points a game. In their 4 losses, he averages 25 points a game.
Yeah.
And that's like a little bit different than UConn, which can just kill you a bunch of different ways. Stephen Castle basically joined Patrick Ewing, and not basically, he did, and Carmelo Anthony to become the third Big East freshman to score 20 points in the Final Four game. He's their fifth option normally.
That's ridiculous.
Like they have, I mean, I guess you can say he's a wing. They really probably have the three best guards in the tournament, or guys who have played that way, with Newton, Spencer, and Castle. And like, that's just, this is sort of a throwback team for all we say about college basketball. That's not what it was. Like, this UConn team could compete with those Nova teams and teams of the past. They're really good. Even that bad game, they won by 14. They kept their streak going. They win by double digits in every tournament game.
Yeah. All right. Well, I got some stories to tell.
I can't wait for
Before we get to story time, I mean, you want to shout out any other companies? I mean, I feel like that's...
I just want to shout out Carrie for crushing another Cherry Blossom 10-miler.
Good job. I've taught you something.
She's got tools. I got no tools. I got no tools.
Well, you have one tool. It seems like you have chosen well. That's
a good
tool.
Picker. I thought you were going to talk about something else.
I don't know about that.
It seemed like the setup. Oh,
your ability to cook.
Yeah. Or just me being a tool.
No. See, that's not an insult that we use. That's not us. That's you.
It's us.
Yeah, okay. I don't call people tools. That's not something we say. Anyway, all right. So, like I mentioned, a couple of my high school friends, I reconnected with them, and I wanted to do something with them. So I was like, hey, let's go to a basketball game, after which 2 Chainz is going to perform. Like, that's a quality old man night. So
Diddy
we go.
Boy.
Yes, that's his real name. 2 Chainz and 4 Bracelets. So we couldn't, we ended up leaving before he gets on stage because I'm old and I had to coach football the next morning and go to karate. And my first bat mitzvah is my first mitzvah. Like I'm 41 years old. I went to my first mitzvah. And some of the parents that were there were surprised that it was my first mitzvah. I was like, I went to black schools?
You're about to crush the scene.
No, the circuit's almost over.
Really?
I feel like it has to be. The year's almost over. They all turned 13 already.
Okay, so she's finishing the bar mitzvah circuit.
Yeah. She's coming to
the end. Do they still do like cha-cha slide or is it now different dances?
Nah, it's different dances. So Cotton Eye Joe has a dance now.
That was always one of them. It was Cotton Eye Joe and cha-cha slide. Were, like,
shout out to the circle. What's the circle called? They was throwing the circles. So everybody gets around and does a circle.
Oh, the horror?
Yeah, and then they go backwards to do it.
It's sort of an elite vibe.
It was vibing. And then they do the chair thing, which I thought was reserved for weddings.
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't get bar mitzvah. I'm not going to be able to answer any of your questions.
Hold on. Charlie Kravitz, you have never been mitzvahed?
Never got mitzvahed. Still a boy. Not yet a man.
All right, we got child labor laws here where my producer is not yet a man. But anyway, he's working hard. But anyway, we're at the basketball game. And between the game and the concert, me and a friend of mine go to the bathroom. And this bathroom is a smaller bathroom. It's only like 6 guys in there, but it's only like 3 stalls. So we're waiting. As we walk in the bathroom, a guy is standing at the sink yelling at a guy at the urinal. Like, and they were arguing about who was old or something, but they're about to fight. He's like, I'm done talking this. I'm not fighting him with his hand. And then the guy who's standing at the urinal just throws his hands up. Well, I don't got it in my hand now. We can do whatever you want. And he's got his face to the wall, finishing his business, talking. The guy at the sink is talking back to about counting how many grays he got in his hair. It was an elite bathroom experience. Fortunately, nobody came to fisticuffs. They seemed serious, but no one else was taking them seriously. We were all just laughing about how they were fighting in the bathroom.
I mean, that's an electric move. It's not in my hands now.
So what you want to do? That's what he kept saying. What you want to do? What you want to do? I don't know. I don't think he wants to fight you with your pants down.
Also, no one wants to fight crazy. And that's a crazy move.
Absolute crazy move, but it was a fun game despite the fact that the Wizards lost again. They're not good.
I mean, you Russillo really rubbed off on you. You went to Wizards Trailblazers.
Yeah, that was it's a tough look. We had some good food and drinks, though. We had a good time. The thing about going to Wizards Trailblazers is a lot of time to catch up.
I was about to say, you could probably walk down and sit on the court. Maybe get a couple minutes if you wanted.
Yeah, I still can't tell you who coaches the Wizards. I called him not Scotty Brooks the whole game.
He's not Scotty Brooks. Is he? I got to Google.
He's definitely not Scotty Brooks. All right, man. Well, I know you got some stories to tell, but you're not allowed to tell them.
Yeah, I got banned from telling my story.
All right, brother. Well, I appreciate it. This has been fun as usual. Thanks to you. Thanks to all of our great producers, Megan, Kevin, Serafina, Brian. Cortez is a coward.
Such a coward.
Podville, we love you so much.
You see Cortez is trying to get jacked again?
Is he?
Yeah. He tweeted just a weight rack and was like steroid season part 2.
I didn't know we were telling about Cortez.
He tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
Or sorry, Instagram storied it.
For who? For what? Why?
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.